You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Who do you think, Toronto or Warriors?
I hope Toronto gives them a good shot, but I think Golden State is going to take it.
Just emotions. That a raw emotion of like seeing guys get fired up. Like, we're not robots.
Did you know when you did it, people are going to be like, oh, what's this about?
That's the one thing I learned. Do not believe everything you read out there.
Do you love pimping a home run?
Do I like it? Do I like seeing it? Fuck yeah.
Of course, I was about to say, hell yeah.
Yo, 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 we are back. A brand new episode of R2C2, as there is every single Thursday. So make sure you're downloading, rating, reviewing, and subscribing. The easiest thing to do is just subscribe, because then the new episodes just, boom, they get automatically downloaded. It's good for us, and it's good for you if you like the show, which we always love hearing from you guys and the awesome feedback. So thank you. You know, a couple weeks ago, I sent out a photo on Instagram, I think on my story, and Sadie Zillow, our coordinating producer, did as well, of Manny Machado with CeCe and me. And the reaction that we got was incredible. People anticipating this podcast, which is so cool. We always love seeing that. And even over the past couple Thursdays, people tweeting at us, reaching out, wait, when's the Machado episode dropping? When's the Machado episode dropping? Well, it drops right now. I mean, you're about to listen to it. And I think you're going to love the insight you get into Manny's personality. I didn't know Manny Machado other than, you know, through what I'd hear from about him from C. And I have to say, I think you're going to walk away thinking, wow, like, that's a really interesting, pleasant, entertaining guy. You know, we learned a ton about some really interesting stuff about how Buck Showalter influenced his career, about Manny's transition to third base coming up, some stuff I had never heard before, which was fascinating. We dove deep into free agency, what that process was like for him, the difficult decisions he had to make. Yes, we talked about the Yankees' interest and flirtation with him as well, and CeCe's recruiting of him. We also got to hear about the famous Jordan brand chat that CeCe's on, along with Manny Machado and some other guys who we're going to have you hear from a little bit later on in the season. So that was just some cool little interesting insights into the Jordan brand guys and the way they communicate. But I think you guys are going to love this episode. I'm so excited for you to hear it. And remember, new episodes every Thursday, R2C2. Download, subscribe, rate, review, tell everybody you know, and enjoy. Here's Manny Machado with CeCe and me on R2C2.
Manny, how did you guys kind of become friendly, you and CeCe?
Well, it goes back to, when I came up, and as a rookie, obviously, knew a couple of guys on the Yankee side, A-Rod, Cano, Melky, and, CeCe was always, professional about his game, always came up to me, hey, what's up, man? Hey, congrats, welcome to big leagues, and, introduced himself, and, ever since then, we kind of kept in touch, and Jordan Brand came around, and, got into a better relationship after that, so, he's been first class act since day one, since I met him, since a rookie.
Are you Jordan Brand guys like all close like that too? I'm like, is there a connection between all of you?
We are. It's not a lot of us. And most of the guys are superstars. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, it's fun to be able to be friends with a lot of these guys. And for me, a lot of the guys that I probably wouldn't normally know, because I don't play against a lot of these guys. So me being an old man now, I don't know a lot of these guys. So it's cool to have that relationship. We have a group chat and it gets fun. It gets fired up.
Oh, wait. So you got a Jordan Brand group chat?
Yeah.
Ooh, I like it. So what kind of like content gets discussed on the Jordan Brand group chat?
We got it all.
It's everything.
A lot of roasting. Everything goes on in there.
Who gets roasted the most? Because let me just explain, Manny.
I don't know who gets roasted the most, but yeah. I know Dexter is always the one that's starting a lot of the shit. Yeah.
Dexter Fowler?
Dexter Fowler, yeah.
He likes to just stir it up?
Yeah.
Stirs up the pot.
Really?
I think we all, everyone kind of gets a little bit of everything. I think, you know, we give our fair share to everyone.
That's how you keep people honest, right? You know,
definitely.
It's like, I was asking because on our group chat, I definitely am the one who gets roasted most with me, CeCe, and our boys. Like, no question I am. But it's okay. It keeps us all honest, you know?
Sure.
I'm the instigator on another group chat. So it kind of
balances it out for sure.
It does. All right. So since you're a Jordan Brand guy, do you have like, do you have a favorite pair? Because I see you rocking neon. Jays
today.
Yeah,
I try, fresh too.
I try to be loud on the field, you know?
Yeah.
I don't get to wear these outside the field, so might as well bring a pair. I got guys inside tell me all the time, why you bring a different pair of shoes all the time? I'm like, well, I'm not going to wear them outside in the field, so might as well wear them on the yard, you know, let everybody else see them. You know, we got taken care of, so, you know, we got to show out our swag sometimes.
Are you a size 12 by chance, man?
No. He's a 13.
All right. Fair enough. Because they look good, man. But, you know, this kind of reminds me of what we were talking about the one time, see, about, like, how, like, it'd be cool if like, people started, like, focusing on when you guys walk in, like, the same way in the NBA, how, like, there's the focus on outfits that way. Like, I would love that because I know Manny's a stylish dude. Like,
definitely.
That should be profiled before every game. You know, then
for
it's
sure.
like, oh, what Jays is he rocking today?
But I feel like they're doing that more and it's getting fans into it more. Yeah. You got like a few more fan pages where guys' outfits are getting posted and different things like off the field. And I think that's what I drives like, you know, younger fans towards the sport is like seeing that. You know, baseball players are cool.
They see us all boring, just wearing uniforms all day.
That should be the marketing slogan, right?
Baseball
there.
Players are cool.
Baseball players are
not,
cool.
Not let the kids play, because obviously that shit ain't working.
Oh, you know, speaking of let the kids play, Manny, like, do you love pimping a home run? Like, is that something you enjoy?
I don't. Depends.
Okay.
Depends on who it is. Depends on the situation of the game. Do I like it? Do I like seeing it? Fuck yeah.
Of course. I was about to say, hell yeah. I was waiting for an answer to this. I was about to be like, wait, what?
No, I like watching it. I mean, for myself, I don't like pimping it myself. I mean, I have my own little just nice and easy, but watching that shit.
Yo, you know, I'm into like Dietrich right now. Like, he's got the best pimp jobs
swag.
Right now. He's dropping the bat and like walking and shit, but he's hitting these balls 500 feet. Like, you don't want to see him pimp it? Don't fucking throw the ball over the plate.
That's right.
I mean, it's just, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And then Puig comes up right behind him and hits one and then sprints out of the box. Like, what you want? You know what I'm saying? Like,
you want the sprint or you want
you the sprint or you want the walk? I mean, they both, there's both runs. You know what I'm saying?
And they both are stylish in their own way.
Yeah, man.
I mean, as a fan, I've always loved it. You know, like, I remember when Jabba was doing the fist pumping and it became like a big talk show radio topic here in New York. And I was like, I love that. Like, and at that point, that was before I was on air. I'm like, as a fan, when he gets two strikes, I'm like waiting for that. You know, like, if I see a big home run in a big spot, like, even like, indeed, he still denies it. But his home run against the Twins in the wild card game a couple years ago, the way he just
flipped the bat.
Yeah, man. Like, that's like as much a part of the highlight for me as seeing the ball go soaring into the right field seat.
Just that emotion. Just that raw emotion of like seeing guys get fired up. Like, we're not robots. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get fired up. You like to have fun. And that's part of it.
And baseball players are cool.
Baseball players are cool.
We're starting that.
That should be your Instagram hashtag, like, with every outfit. Do you, Manny, are you on social media a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just creep though.
Oh, okay. Creeper. Do you have like a burner account that you're checking
out? No, just on mine. I just creep on people. I just scroll down the pictures, see what everybody's wearing, see their stories.
That's good.
See what's happening.
Isn't it funny? Like sometimes all of a sudden you're just like on it, you're like going through stories. It's like, well, a half an hour went by. Like, what happened? I know.
Quick.
It does. Do you remember? It was a big story when Manny followed the Yes Network on Instagram in the office.
Was that? Because it's nothing going on. It's dead. So like,
and people
any
like,
kind of little. LeBron liking the photo of Kyrie the other day. Like,
yeah.
That's not fucking news.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Don't put that on ESPN. Like, that's not news, bro. Like, nobody cares. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a like on an Instagram, and like, people go crazy because it's the offseason.
It was funny, like, seeing someone like John Heyman reporting on Manny Machado has followed the Yes Network.
Heyman.
Did you know when you did it, people are going to be like, oh, what's this about?
No, I mean, it's. We're following, you know, we're doing a tour, you know, you want to know where you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I'm not just going to go somewhere in blind. So you follow all these things. You kind of see the organization, see, you know, what they're about. And, you know, I didn't think it was going to be a big story, but obviously I was wrong.
Did you want to, like, unfollow after? Like, didn't that would have been a huge story?
I had no chance. After it came out, I had no choice. Oh, he unfollowed the just network. I mean, it would have been worse.
So it would have been worse.
So did you unfollow it, or did you stay following at that moment?
Honestly, I think I just kept following it. I played against the Yankees for 8 years. I mean, we've been following them for a while, you know. I mean, it's just the nature of it. We follow them. We follow, you know, Tampa's, Toronto's, you know, Boston. You know, we follow them all. You know, you kind of, especially my wife. My wife's always on, you know, whenever she's not at the games, you want to keep score on different type, you know, different ways.
Yeah.
So just all talk to people.
It's hilarious. It's just the new age of what it, you know, what sports is, though, in social media. And that's just the way people keep up with guys now. And sometimes it is a story, and a lot of times it's not, though.
Well, also the Yes Network, we appreciate it, Manny. And we want you to continue to follow our outstanding content there, because I also work there. But, you know, it is interesting, because I do feel like today, and we see it, I think, in NBA free agency, it's become huge, too, where it's like people try and put together the clues of, like, oh, this guy followed that guy and this guy followed that guy. And I guess it was a credit to your camp and the way you guys kept information tight that was all there really was for people to go on in free agency, because there wasn't, like, hard news, so to speak. Because I think even, like, I don't know who it was in your family was wearing, like, a little White Sox outfit or something, and everyone's like, oh, man, he's going to the White Sox. It's like,
funny thing was, my brother-in-law is in the White Sox.
Right. So, like, what's he going to do? If your brother-in-law is getting a gift for a kid, he's giving him White Sox stuff or something, right? Or, like, or...
It is what it is.
How much was the pull to try and join? I mean, you have family over there. Also, John Jay is a really close friend, right? Like, I mean, how much did that weigh on you, the opportunity to be with those guys?
Well, you know, you as a kid, we always dreamed to, you know, play in the big leagues, obviously, win a World Series, you know. But at the end of the day, you would love to play with your friends. You know, you would love to play with your boys. I would love to play with my family. So, yeah, it definitely was a big, big part of it. Part of a decision that I had to make, you know, because it would have been pretty cool to be, you know, when, you know, they're not to talk shit about them, but, you know, they're about to, you know, we got a couple more years in the big leagues, and, you know, I'm still way younger than them, so I still got a lot more, way more time. So, you know, it was a decision that was kind of tough, but it would have been freaking awesome if I would have been a part of that and, you know, actually put on the same uniform, be in the clubhouse, go on the road with them, like just experience the whole baseball. You know, now I'm over here by myself in San Diego, you know, a great team, great teammates, but, you know, it's different when it's family and close friends.
Yeah, I mean, a brother-in-law is like a totally different level of, like, you know, I mean, that's not just your boy.
That's a different level.
That is your family.
Yeah.
I mean, and was your wife, like, I mean, that must have been a pull for her, too. Like, thinking, hey, you know, I can be this close to my family.
I mean, it was
definitely
talked about a lot throughout the family.
Yeah.
Not going to lie. You know, it's just the truth. It's every day we could play together. You know? We'll be dining together. You know? It's one flight for everybody. You know, so.
Same hotel.
Everybody's good, you know, so it would have been a lot easier for the family.
Did you enjoy free agency, like, going through the whole process? Because I know, like, when I went through it in 2008, I didn't have fun. I thought it was going to be fun and the touring around and all that stuff, but it wasn't as fun as I expected.
It was definitely different. It was totally different than what I expected. I, you know, everybody always talked about, I mean, the actual, like, the trips going to the places, like, the tour was kind of cool. You know, you get to go to the stadiums and enjoy it, and they're kind of showing you love, and, you know, they put your name, your walkout, your jersey. That's all cool. But the other stuff about it, just miserable. You're just waiting around, and you're like, man, like, this is the one time I get to choose where I want to go. You know, people actually want you, and you're just waiting around, and the other teams on the other side are just kind of just holding off on you, and like, oh, yeah, we don't know, this and that, like... Just takes forever, especially this year, how the game's changing and with the free agents, you know, it just wasn't fun. And it wasn't fun for me. So I could just imagine what's going on, you know, with Crimbo out there and Keiko. So, you know, but at the end of the day, grateful for where I'm at, grateful for the decision I made. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, you look back on it, it's something that you learn from, kind of take it in for what it is. But, you know, it was kind of fun, but at the same time, kind of a headache.
But it always helped you. It'll help you be a better leader too with younger guys coming up and you going through that and knowing what the situation is and helping, being able to talk to guys. Guys will come to you a lot now
100%
and want to talk about free agency and you'll have all the info. You know what I'm saying? 100%. So it'll help you be a better leader.
Yeah, 100%.
What was the moment you were most frustrated in during the period, Manny? Because you're right. It's completely different than it was even when C was a free agent in 08 because we've seen these timetables. They drag out. Even with a stud in his, you know, going into his age 25 or 26 season, it's a different, you know, it's a different period of time that it takes these teams to make decisions. So, like, what was there? Do you remember the point where you were, like, most frustrated during that period?
Honestly, not really, to be honest. I thought I was, you know, I knew what I was, what I deserved. I knew what I was going to get. You know, it was just a matter of just waiting game. You know, they wanted to wait. We were going to wait. I was, at the end of the day, I had the upper hand. You know, I knew they were going to want me and I knew what I could bring to the table. And at the end of the day, it was going to happen. So, I wasn't frustrated at times. Were you pissed off at times? Yeah, you know, a bunch of lies going on up there, back and forth. Are you just like, you know, what's going on? Are you serious right now? But other than that, I mean, I think it was, you know, it wasn't too bad.
Well, because it did get to a point, right, where your agent had to make a statement saying, whoa, this is totally false.
A lot of false accusations out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of lies that go through. That's one thing I learned. Do not believe everything you read out there. That's one thing. Do not believe it because it's not true.
I could imagine that, like, if you're a free agent and, like, obviously, you know, there are times reporters have scoops, of course. Like, we see that all the time. But, like, you're reading something about yourself and you're just like, this is just, like, I have no interest in this place.
I'm so glad that I wasn't a free agent during, like, social media era because I would have been on social media. That ain't true. That's a fucking lie. He lying. That ain't happened. I would have been.
I'd be
going off. Dog. Like I'd be putting everybody on blast, like going crazy. Like I can't hold it like that. So like, it's good that, you know, I was a free agent when there was no social media. Yeah,
it's not as easy as it was back then.
Were you checking Twitter too or just
Instagram? Oh, yeah. Whoever tells you that they don't check it, they're lying. I was on that every day.
And especially in the off season, because it's the off season, so you have, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like sometimes like the story gets kind of like, you forget about the player, whereas more so it just turn into a story and this and that. And but you forget about the player that you're getting and what he's done and the talent that he has. You know what I mean? And I feel like sometimes it gets away from that. I mean, with every sport and anything. I mean, NFL draft, I say the same thing. You know, as soon as the season's over and, you know, they cut the tape and then it's like you never seen these kids play before. Mm-hmm. It's all about the draft. Like you just watched all these kids play against Oklahoma, Alabama, whatever. Like, draft them on that, not for what they can, how fast they can run or how many times they can lift 225. It's crazy.
That is a great point. It fascinates me how underrated what you actually do on the field becomes in that process, especially the NFL draft. Like, all of a sudden, the bench press matters more than the 20 sacks you had against top competition.
You just saw this guy play against top competition. What difference does it make? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Championship, like, it's game, balling out. Like,
it's crazy, man.
How much better can you play?
It happens with every sport. Watch how crazy it gets this free agency, this offseason with basketball.
And
them talking about different players and this and that. Even with Kawhi last year. This time last year, Kawhi was the worst player on, and Popovich couldn't handle him and this and that. Now he's the greatest player in Toronto franchise history. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you just got to let the guys play and get out there, man.
It does. It swings back and forth so quickly. I have to ask you, Manny, because CeCe's like, you know, he's the elder statesman here. How was his free agency pitch to you? Did he do a good job trying to pitch the Yankees?
I think honestly, he did a good job.
I don't know about that.
He kept the professional.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just, you know, let him be.
I was bugging him more. I felt like I was bugging him because I was texting him like every couple of weeks. Like, yo, where we at? I wanted him here bad, man. I just know what type of talent he has and the type of player he is and the type of guy he is in our clubhouse would have been great. But I'm happy for him, you know, in San Diego. I think it's a good spot for him, too.
It was interesting, too, because I will say, like, there is a faction of, I mean, I think it's worked out for everybody, right? Like, things have gone well, you know, with the Yankees, and you guys are off to a really good start in San Diego, and I think, you know, you're going to have an awesome core there for a long time. But it's funny, like, there's definitely still a faction of Yankee fans who are upset that the Yankees didn't sign you. Like,
yeah, but that's not his fault.
No, I'm saying it as a compliment to him. Yeah. I'm saying it as a compliment to Manny that even as well as things have gone this year at third base, like Yankee fans loved you so much and were so fascinated by you, but that they're still like, man, I wish we would have had that guy. Yeah, obviously not your fault, but like that's how much. I mean, I'm wondering. I bring it up to say, did you feel that love from the Yankee fans? Like, could you tell how badly Yankee fans wanted you?
Oh yeah, I mean the whole offseason was, you know, hearing those mix, you know, hey, we want Manny, we want Machado. So it was pretty cool. I mean, I played in my entire career. Obviously, it was on the other side, obviously, and you know, it's always been a pleasure to play here. And you know, you get mixed emotions of the Yankees fans, and you just, you know, they love you when you play for them, and they hate you when you're on the other side. It's just what it is, but they respect the game. They know players. They know baseball. You know, that's why I think that's what's so cool about, you know, playing here and playing against the Yankees, that you always knew that when you came in here, they were going to, you know, they were going to boo you. They were going to throw stuff at you. They were going to heckle you. They were going to say a bunch of motherfuck you, you know, but they respect your game. You know, when you came out here and you balled out and you beat the Yankees, they respected that. Obviously, they didn't like it, but they've always respected it. So I always thought that was pretty cool.
That is. Like, I see you've always talked about that, too, with, like, just the fan experience here and how different it is, like, you know, as an opponent versus, you know, home player, and just, like, how you feel these fans, you know? And it is a little different than other organizations in that regard.
Yeah, big time. I mean, like you said, these fans, they know baseball and they know, you know, what they want. And yeah. It was just like, I mean, just, you know, his first at bat and they started booing. And I'm like, that's love, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, the boo was like, we wish he was here more so than like, boo, we don't like him. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just, you got to understand these fans, and they're real passionate and they're real fans.
Yeah, they are. Now, see, you're probably happy that you're not pitching against the Padres so that you don't have to face
definitely,
this guy, right?
Definitely.
Like, I got to look up the exact numbers.
But it's a lot.
Yeah. I'm looking them up. I remember the one ball that Manny, I have CC versus batters up here. I remember the one ball Manny hit off you to left field that was like, I knew it was
Which one?
Yeah. No, you know the one. It was like 470 feet.
Yo, and then we get on the group chat, and then it's like, you should see it, like when he takes me deep, or so you take, like something happens on the group chat, like when we playing each other, it gets crazy.
Does it?
Yeah, it gets.
You just gotta wait. Did you pimp it?
I can't pimp CC, man. No.
You just head down, all
just
right?
Head down like, fuck, damn.
That's a long way.
So, all right, here it is. You got a .339 batting average, an OPS over 1,000, and 5 dingers against the C's. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good. It's good I took this week off.
Yeah, exactly. This is nice time for a sabbatical. No need for you to face Manny this week. Manny, what about, like, when you think back about your experience in Baltimore, you're there a long time as a young player. I mean, you came up at a young age. What stands out most thinking back to your years there?
Man, the great group we had. We had such a great, great talent, great group of guys. Adam Jones, Markakis, Sweeters, JJ Hardy. I mean, we all got along so well. And we came, you know, from, you know, when I came up, it was 15 years before they had made the postseason. I came up in August. First wild card game, we win. First time, I think it was the first time the wild card has
was able.
They split it up to the two, two teams, one game, and we win that. And you know, from then it was just winning seasons. After that, everybody getting together as a group. You know, we had such a special group, man. I think that was what was so special, that I, you know, when you get a core group of guys like that, I get along so well and are together for such a long period of time. You know, you grow a relationship, and I think that's what you miss most when you're gone, or you get traded, or, you know, when people start going away, you know, I think that's what you miss most, man. That interaction you have with guys in the clubhouse, that, you know, when you picking each other up on the field and you're struggling, when you're 0-for-20, you know, you're feeling that, like you're 20-for-20, but your boy is 0-for-20 and you're feeling that, man. You're like, come on, let's get ahead, and you're cheering for each other. I mean, I think that goes a long way, man. I think that's what you miss. We had a very tight group of guys who, you know, we ate dinner together, we went out together, we did a lot of stuff together that, you know, those are memories that you'll never forget.
You know what's crazy is that, like, it'll never be the same. You know what I'm saying? Like that, I still feel that with my Cleveland teams, the guys that I came up with, Victor Martinez and, you know, all those guys that I came up with when I was younger, still my boys. You know what I'm saying? I still talk to them to this day and like still super close. And like, you never have nothing like that first group of guys that you came up with and like won with. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's special when you always hold on to that. You always have that.
Yeah,
that's so interesting, and I could see that because I mean, think about it. That's your, you know, your. I mean, you both were super young. Were you 19 when you started?
I was 19, yeah.
And Manny, you were in the big leagues when you were 20.
Just turned 20.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, think about how young that is in those formative years, and you know, you guys are all like, I mean, you're growing up together.
Yeah, you're trying to figure it out together, and you don't know who's gonna make it, and you don't know who's gonna be there for a long time. But you know, you just know that you've been through this journey with these guys in the minor leagues, and you want to get, the goal is to get to the big leagues and win. And when you can accomplish that, you know, no matter on what level, you know, I mean, you know, you feel pretty good about it. And that group of guys is always be special.
Yeah, that group, it was a really good group. I mean, I forget what the exact numbers are, but there was a time where it was like you guys had the most wins of any team during the decade or, you know, whatever it was. And, you know, you went to the playoffs multiple times. Adam's one of our favorites. Yeah, and you know, sure, he's a good buddy of C's, and we love having him on the potty. So besides his donut expertise, everything else is awesome also, you know. You ever get in on, like, donuts with Adam?
But I tell him all the time, I'm like, Jonesy, why don't you just keep it original? Just give me some glazed donuts. Just get filled, this, that. I'm like, come on, Adam. Like, damn, just keep it simple sometimes.
You get like,
that's cool that y'all get to play each other now. A lot too in, that's the, crazy. In the West, right? Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah. I told him that the other day. I'm like, man, damn, I thought I was gonna come over here by myself and over here on the West. Now I gotta see your every other series. I gotta see you 18 times. Can I get away?
Do you have a donut spot for him in San Diego yet?
No, but I just found one on Instagram though.
Oh, really?
I just found one on Instagram. Sorry, found them. They look bomb.
Really?
They look bomb. But he already probably knows he's from there, so.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
He's probably ate all of them.
That's true. I forgot he was from there.
That's right. See, you like the glaze from maple. Krispy Kreme, right? Maple. Maple. Oh, so good, man. And
simple.
Simple maple.
You don't want when they put like the Lucky Charms on it or whatever.
I don't want none of that shit. Maple donuts, bro.
That's it, man. I love, like, the key to success in the big leagues is donuts before the game.
For
like,
sure.
That is really
100%.
That's what you
load
need to do.
Load up on your carbs.
You know, Buck Showalter, he has a history here, obviously, and he was your manager for a long time in Baltimore, and this the first year in a while he isn't their manager. He always seems super intense. We love storytelling here on R2C2, so I'm wondering, do you have a good, like, Buck Showalter being super intense story from your years in Baltimore?
Every time he came to New York, he was super intense.
Yeah.
He just wanted to beat the Yankees so bad. He was just like, let's go. Like, you know, we'll feel that pressure coming in here. You know, he just wanted to beat the Yankees all the time. And, you know, I think he was... Everybody knows who Buck is. You know, he is who he is. He doesn't change for anybody. Just how you see him is how he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I thought he was such a great manager, especially me coming up as a young kid. He taught me so much about the game, about, you know, how to play the game the right way. You know, such of like, he's a micromanager. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a attention to detail type of guy. Like, if you know, he'll be in here right now, he'll be changing these water bottles. Putting them in the line. Like, they're not right. You know, that's just who he was. So, you know, he was an awesome guy to play with, you know, especially coming up. You know, we loved having him. Learned so much. I tell everybody I'm the player I am today because I have Buck Showalter as my manager.
Wow, that's amazing. How much of your third base ability, and you've won two gold gloves there, and now you're splitting time between short and third. How much of that, Manny, was like, you know, learned nuances once you got to the big league level, and how much of it was the talent you already had there?
I think it was just straight talent, honestly.
Yeah.
It's crazy because I only played 3 games in the minor leagues, and then they put me
at third.
At third, yeah. So they told me, they're like, hey, you might get called up to the big leagues, but it's to play third base. You know, we don't have a third baseman right now. They're kind of scuffling with Mark Reynolds and Benemit at the time. And they're like, they're kind of scuffling a little bit. Maybe you might play third. You want to learn how to play third? I was like, yeah, whatever. Anything to get to big leagues. Like,
yeah, whatever. Got to do.
Whatever. So I played there, practiced for like a straight week early work, and the hot buoy, it was hot as hell. Oh, man, it was hot. I'm out there early work every day, it was a 10-day homestand for 10 days playing third base. And I come back, they're like, yeah, you're going to play third. I'm like, all right, when am I going to play third? A month and a half passes, I don't play. Finally, it comes, like, it was like July something. I played two games at third base. It was a weekend series. So I played three games in third base. Never played third base again. Went back to shortstop. I started raking. A month passes. I get called up to the big leagues to play third base. Gary Kendall, my manager at the time, was like, hey, you know, you're getting called up to the big leagues. You got to go to Baltimore tomorrow and you're playing against Kansas City. I was like, oh, you know, fuck shit. Yeah. You know, it's fucking awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, but you're going to play third base. I was like, oh, shit. My heart just dropped. I was like, man, I thought I was supposed to be excited about this moment. I got this pressure that I'm going to be playing third base. In the middle of, you know, they were like battling for the wild card spot, first place. I was like, oh, man, I don't want to mess this up. And, you know, I went up there and I just played. I just, you know, Buck told me, he's like, hey, you don't need to worry about hitting. Don't worry about anything. Just catch the ball and make the – if you make errors, who cares? Just make sure you catch it and make a good throw. And if you could do that, then you're going to be fine. So that kind of relieved some pressure on me. And I just went out there and I just let my talent take over.
I mean, and it did. Some of the plays
from right from the beginning, like from right away.
It just happens. Like, I mean, people ask me, like, how do you do it? I'm like, I honestly don't know. I just catch the ball.
That's
just
the best way to be, though. Like, when you can't explain it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's go glove.
So now, yeah, exactly. Already two of them. Now, Manny, do you have a strong preference between short and third? Because this year, you're about 50-50, I feel like, between the two positions.
You know, my heart's always been at short, man. I've always wanted to play. I played it last year, and I thought it made me a better player just because I was in the game. I was able to see, you know, from the pitchers, I was able to see pitches, make adjustments, move guys over, move this way. Even then, that translated into, like, my hitting. When I went to go hit, I was already knowing, like, okay, man, like, our pitcher's doing this. Maybe it made me smarter.
Understanding the game. Of course, yeah.
Mm. Where at third base, you really can't. You don't see that because you can't see the signs. You don't know what pitch is coming. You kind of have the shortstop sometimes sending you the signs, but it's a little different. So, you know, playing shortstop last year was awesome. I always loved to play it. I'm better shortstop this year than I was last year just because I got, you know, my feet under me and kind of know what to expect over there now. So, if I had to choose, I mean, I'm the player I am today because of third base, but I mean, I love short.
Yeah.
The, you know, your core, I mean, how much did the idea of like having a young group to grow with the Padres, how much of a role did that play in your decision to come to San Diego? We know the money is amazing and the contract is great. You know, I mean,
that's pretty good.
Exactly. And by the way, it should be a huge factor. I mean, that's a life altering, family altering, generational decision, of course, you know. But when you are looking at the other things on the table, what, you know, how much did that have to do with it? You know, playing with Tatis Jr. and everything else.
It was huge. I mean, obviously, you know, I wanted to win, number one. You know, I wanted to win. And, you know, there's a young core group here that have tremendous talent, and to be a part of that and, you know, make them grow, know what I know as a player, you know, what I could bring to the table was, you know, obviously a big, big thing. So, you know, coming over here, they told me, yeah, you're going to be playing third base. We have Tatis coming over. Want you to help him. Want him. And I saw this kid play in spring training. I'm like, man, thank God I'm playing third base. I love it. This kid has so much talent. He's 20 years old. He can run. He can catch. He can throw. I mean,
you know, what I, you was it, 8 years, 5 years ago.
I didn't have the speed, though. I didn't have the speed. I wish I had that. But, you know, just made it a lot easier just because, you know, now I could, you know, not could be J.J. Hardy, who was to me, you know, just kind of helping me out, making me grow. I won't go gloves because of J.J. Hardy. So now I could do the same thing to a player like that. I could do a player to, you know, we have Julio, Luis Urias playing second base. He's going to come up and play too. That's, I mean, he has all the tools in the world. You know, the pitching staff that we have, you know, that I could give my 2 cents to. Obviously, I'm not a pitcher. I don't know much. But, you know, you kind of give your 2 cents to them and you know, make them learn. So it's kind of unique, the group that we have, because we have a little bit of veteran leadership, you know, with Kinsler and, you know, Stammen in the bullpen, Kirby, myself, you know, guys who could help these guys out in different ways that can make them better. And, you know, this is my home for the next 10 years. And, you know, if you could grow with this, just like I was in Baltimore, we grew up together and you went together. I mean, it just makes it that much more special.
See, when I think about the like difference in roles, right? Because now Manny goes from being that young gun in Baltimore, whatever, to being the relied upon leader here now, mm-hmm. right? Which role have you enjoyed more? Like being that young dude coming up, whatever, or being the elder statesman in the clubhouse?
It's kind of both. You enjoy the young time because it's like you can do whatever. You know, it's nothing's your fault. You're just young. So you can do stupid shit. Nobody's going to really get mad. You know what I mean? So it's fun to be young in the game, especially, you know, when you got a lot of talent. You can go out there and play and, you know, you can have some success and, you know, have some good numbers and stuff like that. But, you know, like you said, paying it forward and being able to be that guy to Tatis and you know, help him be a better player. Yeah, it's fun for me now to see Justice Sheffield, you know, Monty and, you know, all these guys that, you know, I get to be around and hang around and see them come up and you know, be better players and be, you know, good pitchers. It's fun to be a part of that, too.
What did J.J. Hardy teach you? Because, you know, you just talked about, hey, I wouldn't have my Gold Gloves without him. You know, what's one lesson or some of the lessons he taught you that stays with you today?
Consistency. You know, practice consistency. And if you do that, everything else will be easy. I mean, the game is easy. The game doesn't change. We've been playing the same game since, you know, we're 6 years old.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a lot stronger guys, bigger guys, better balls, better bats, better gloves. But it's the same game. You got to catch the ball, make the throw. And he was not the flashiest guy of them all. He looked kind of weird catching the ball and throwing it, but he made every play.
He made every play. He was my shortstop in Milwaukee. In Milwaukee,
right?
The year before, in 2008. And, I mean, he was unbelievable. He made every play. It was great. It was so much fun.
But he made it. And so watching practice with him, it was just like, all right, I want to catch the ball in the same spot every time. I want to make a chest throw every time. So that's why every time BP, I do the same thing. It's like I'm gonna catch it in that one spot and I'm gonna make that throw in that chest. So it makes it so now when the game comes around, I'm always hitting Hosmer in the chest. I was always hitting Chris Davis in the chest. You know, obviously there's errors that, you know, you sometimes happens, but if you could keep that consistent, you know, everything else will take care of itself. And, you know, won my first Gold Glove, won a Platinum that year, 13, and then won another Gold Glove after that. So, and it's just because of that consistency level of it.
How about, you know, talking about San Diego and the decision to go to the Padres? How about the weather? I mean, that's got to play a role, right? I mean, it's got to play a role.
See this weather here?
Yeah. It's rainy.
We might not play today. That's not happening in San Diego.
A phrase never uttered in San Diego, actually. I mean, it's got to be beautiful being there.
It's amazing waking up every day, and it's 72, 75 every day. Sun's out. Mm. You know, it's just beautiful. It's beautiful every day. I think we had a rain out the other day. Well, it didn't rain
it
out.
Was raining.
It was raining.
Yeah, I was
We're playing
that game.
Through the game.
Yeah.
We're like, man, it's kind of coming down pretty hard. Are we going to like tarp this? Nope.
Do y'all even have seconds. A tarp?
Yeah, they took it out. It comes out of the left field. First time I ever seen it. It was out there. I'm like, damn, I didn't even know we had one. But it's awesome, man. It's you know, it's a beautiful city. It's a beautiful organization. The ball field it's
gorgeous.
Amazing. Yeah. It's very nice, and you know the weather's perfect every day. You know?
That's what I plan on retiring too, bro.
Yeah, you're gonna go to San Diego.
Yeah, when I get old, man, my kids get old enough to get out of the house, I'm definitely going to San Diego. Oh, for sure.
It's nice.
My favorite fish taco spot in the world is in San Diego. The Fish House. You ever been there?
Never.
I'm pretty sure it's been there. Fish Shop. Might be Fish Shop. Yeah.
You just made that up, bro.
Yeah, no.
We recording this shit, bro. You can't just make shit up.
Wait. Here we go. I think it's the Fish Shop. Because I'm thinking about like...
Mama's Fish House is in Maui.
Well, I know that. But no, Pacific Beach Fish Shop.
Oh, okay.
But it just says like Fish Shop. Oh my gosh.
I passed by the other day, actually.
I didn't stop in, though. I don't know if you're going to get, like, you know, swarmed or whatever, but, like, go.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing about San Diego. Nobody knows who I am.
So oh, that's great, man. That's
even better.
It's even better.
Go to the fish shop, man.
Ride my bird.
Oh, dude, that's fantastic.
Do whatever I want.
Yeah.
It's the best.
That's perfect. You got to check out the Fish Shop, them. Amazing fish tacos, like the sauces they got. Oh, terrific. How about, like, what's an ideal off day for Manny Machado?
Man, ideal sleep in.
Okay.
Eat some food in bed.
In bed.
In bed.
Interesting. Right. Cook it downstairs and come eat in bed. Yeah. And then just chill all day. Chill with my puppies. I got two little dogs, Kobe and Kiki. Just chill with them. Watch TV and binge watch, basically.
Another binge watch.
Yeah, what kind of shows? What you into?
I'm into Animal Kingdom right now.
Okay.
I just got into that. Okay. Just finished watching Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders.
I never seen it.
See, he's never seen Peaky Blinders. Peaky Blinders is dope, man.
Maybe that's my next one, man.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. and we didn't finish it, but we were watching some Spanish soap opera for like years.
Okay,
man, these Spanish soap operas, man, they're going forever.
We can't even finish it. You see Chappie be so intense with his Spanish soap operas, bro, and he loves it. Like, it's crazy, but it never finishes. It's like the same story.
That's crazy. Bro. Yeah, just binge watch and just chill all day. You know, I kind of. You know, we're always on the grind. We're always, you know, moving around, flying, going to places. So we kind of, you know, on those off days, I just want to be in bed or in the house.
Yeah.
What about other sports? You like hoops, NFL?
A little bit of basketball. Watch football. Fantasy, big fantasy guy.
Who do you think, Toronto or Warriors?
Man, I hope Toronto gives them a good shot, but I think Golden State is going to take it. They just got the better team.
Yeah.
They just... You know, they're defending champs, and KD's probably going to come back. You know,
not for games one and two, though. And I'm worried about that. I think
as a Warriors fan, they need KD.
You think they do in this series?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want Kawhi guarding Steph. Mm. He's going to lock him down. You know what I'm saying?
He won't be able to do anything.
And he's never good with bigger defenders. Like, this is going to be a problem.
It's a bigger series, though.
Yeah. I mean, Kawhi, he is just, I always say, I do a lot of NBA play-by-play, and people ask, like, you know, who's a guy like that stands out most to you, whatever. And I've said over the last couple of years, the guy who has, like, even though I knew he's great, but, like, still was like, whoa, when you watch him up close, is Kawhi. That's been the guy for me, because the way he anticipates things, and his hands and his size and his movements, like,
there ain't been many players that are as equally as good on both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
Like, he's elite defender, and he can score from anywhere on the floor too. It's crazy. Kendrick Perkins said the other day, and it was like, Scottie Pippen's the only other person I can really think of that's that good on both ends. You know what I'm saying? Like, really that elite.
That's a good comparison, like, along those lines. It's true. Where it just, like, locks you down.
He locks you down. It's crazy. He locked up Giannis.
Oh,
and that series was over after the first two games. After the first two games, I'm like, the Bucks might sweep these dudes.
Yes.
And then he he changed the narrative. Over. It was crazy,
took
man.
Over.
Yeah.
Now your dog's name, Kobe, after...
To Kobe Bryant.
So he was your guy growing up?
That was my guy.
Have you gotten a chance to interact with him at all?
So last year... You know, I actually got to meet him. So I think it was game five of the World Series. The Dodgers invited him over, and he came over and, you know, walked around the clubhouse and stuff. And I had to take a picture with him. So crazy thing was, so they asked him, because I wore number 8 going to L.A. because of Kobe. So I get there and, you know, they tell me, hey, you're going to come over to the game. Game five, you know, we're going to give you a jersey, number 8 jersey with your name on it or whatever. He's like, no, I don't want my name on it. I want Machado's jersey.
Machado's jersey.
And I was like, damn. Okay. Okay. So he ended up wearing my jersey, and he wore it on the game, and he came into the clubhouse, and, you know, we took a picture, and he had a hoodie on. You know, he didn't want to walk around the clubhouse with my jersey. So finally, when I came up, I was getting ready for the game. He comes into the weight room, and I'm working out, and I try to get up. He's like, nah, don't worry about it. Finish what you're doing. I'm like, nah, bro, you're Kobe Bryant, bro. I'll stop what I'm doing right quick. I come take a picture. So I got up and took a picture. He takes it off. He's like, hold on, I gotta take something off. So he takes it off, and he's like, damn, bro. Wearing my jersey, bro. Which is, you know, that's one of my... I will never forget that in my entire life. You know, that was pretty special.
That is an awesome story.
That's dope.
It's crazy.
And that is, like, I mean, you talk about meeting your heroes and that kind of thing. That's incredible, man.
It was awesome.
Manny, we could do this all day, dude. I know, you know, you've given us a ton of time. I want to let you get out of here, but thank you. Like, I was always a fan watching you, but now I'm like, yo, Manny's really cool. Like, this is what we love about R2C2, for though, sure. Right? Like, you get to know guys, and that's why C wanted to do this. Like, we love storytelling, getting to know you guys. This is a lot of fun, man. Best of luck in San Diego,
thank you,
man.
Appreciate you guys.
And hopefully we'll have you back on sometime.
For sure.
Thank you, Manny.
Awesome, man. Thank you, guys.